Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live on this wonderful Mother's Day.
Absolutely. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. 46 years, 2 months, and 9 days.
I think you're way up there today.
You think I am?
Yeah.
Am I sitting taller?
Yes, you are. Sit up straight.
This is better.
Keep going. We want to wish all the moms out there, and you know, the spiritual
moms. And spiritual moms.
That's right.
There's some women who've never had children, but they've really been an inspiration.
Amen.
To other people, and been like a spiritual mom to them.
That's right.
So
means a lot.
It does. It does. And it's good. You remember back in March, you and I went to see a movie.
Yes.
Entitled I Can Only Imagine. Mm. It was amazing, emotional,
yeah.
Powerful. It's the story of Bart Millard of the Mercy Me musical group. The movie tells the story of a young boy, who was verbally and physically abused by his father. And their journey to restoration that only God could make happen.
That's it.
You know, I won't take the time to tell you the whole story. It's beautiful.
You need to see
I'll just say, you need to go see it or buy the DVD when it comes out on June 12th, Father's Day. And at that point, let me tell you this. You and I were in a meeting of independent Christian bookstore owners. And we were talking about when the DVD would come out. And they weren't sure. And you said that it would be perfect to release it on Father's Day. And the person who was the president of this group said, that's a fabulous idea. And he emailed the president of the distribution company. And guess what? It's coming out on Father's Day.
Well, may God get the glory.
He will get the glory. And that movie will help a lot of people,
yes.
No doubt. You know, the highlight of that movie was the point where Bart was moved by emotion over his father who had just passed and gone to heaven. And that's when he wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine.
Set. And one of the things that I think is really interesting in the movie, and I am going to, it's a very small spoiler, but he said, you know, he was talking to the lady about writing it, and she said, you know, he said, well, I just sat down and wrote it. It, like, took me 10 minutes, I think he said. And she goes, no, Bart, it took you a lifetime. I don't want to get all emotional. That's really, you know, it was his lifetime. And anyway, it was put in those words. And it is a great
song.
In fact, I've always loved it.
It is.
Yes.
Became, still is, the number one best-selling Christian song of all time. It sold more copies than any other Christian song.
Mm, it's amazing.
You know, the first couple of verses of the song. And sometimes, you know, it'd be nice if I could sing as well as I teach and preach.
Then you'd really be hard to live.
I would, I want to tell you. I'd be preaching all of a sudden, break in the middle of a song.
Yeah, I've known preachers to do it.
Yeah, I do.
But the song goes,
I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. And I only can imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine. Now listen to the second part.
This is the
surrounded
chorus.
By your glory,
chorus.
What will my heart feel?
Mm.
Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you, be still. Will I stand in your presence or fall on my knees? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Fabulous song, great movie. But you know, since that movie and listening to the song a number of times since then, the title of it really kind of stuck in my brain. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. It's like the Lord is prompting me to ask each of us, each of you, me, all of us, what can we imagine? Can we imagine where we'll be sitting when we pay off that last debt?
Mm.
Can you imagine what you'll think when the doctor tells you, I don't know why, but there's no cancer in your body? Can you imagine how you'll feel when you begin to see your dreams come true? Can you imagine how you feel when a child who's been lost in sin comes home to Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine how you feel when you become free from addiction? Can you imagine how you feel when you're manifesting the promises of God in your life? Can you imagine? Think about it. Can you imagine? And see, that's important. Our imagination is critical to what we do in life. In fact, the word imagination is defined in the Merriam-Webster Intercollegiate Dictionary is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. Our imagination is a thing that allows us to see the future before it happens. Let me say that again. Our imagination is the thing that allows us to see the future before it actually happens or manifests. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here are seven things.
Reasons, ways, keys.
That's it. How your imagination, you can use it to change the world.
That's right. Your world particularly.
Your world particularly. Number one, imagination is not bad, evil, or unproductive, but we may be. Our imagination is neither good nor evil. It becomes what we decide it will be.
That's right.
And if God created our imagination, we can be assured that He meant it for good.
That's right.
And not for evil.
Amen.
That's what He meant. Many Christians have talked of, they've been talked out of using their imagination because it's seen as unhealthy because of these New Age gurus or, you know, things in the world. So in some Christian circles, using your imagination has been deemed as unhealthy. But see, what we have to always remember is that heresy is just truth taken to an extreme. And what these people have done is taken truth that's in the Word to an extreme and perverted it. But that doesn't mean that it's still not the truth.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
The enemy has used these mindsets to pervert and prevent believers from tapping into their imagination merely by taking a scriptural truth, as I said, to an extreme. The best place, actually the only place, to find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, God uses His imagination to make something out of nothing. He created the earth by the words He spoke, and God said. It's found 10 times in the first chapter. Genesis 1:26, the scripture says that we were made in His image and after His likeness. Genesis 15:5, God told Abraham to count the stars, so shall your descendants be. God was clearly telling Abraham, clearly telling him, to use his imagination to see future generations. He was telling him to do that. I mean, why else would God tell Abraham what he did if he wasn't going to be able to do that? Here's the bottom line. Once you read your Bible, do what it says, then you need to take what God says in His Word and imagine it manifesting in your life. Now, I realize there are a number of scriptures that talk about vain imaginations. The problem is not in using your imagination, but it's about using your imagination to think wrong, negative, or sinful things. Our imagination, we just need to allow God. You know, if you got a child that's not saved, just imagine you're in a church service. And He comes walking in the back door, or she. They walk down and sit with you. You have a tear coming down your face. They give the altar call, playing Almost Persuaded or some popular chorus. And you see that child getting up, walking down the aisle, kneeling and giving their heart to Jesus. Can you imagine? See, you got to be able to imagine it. Got to be able to see it, confess it, speak it.
And know that God can do it.
And know that God can do it. You're exactly right.
Drawn by the Holy Spirit. But in Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He tells us what happens. But if we focus on God in all things, praising him and thanking him for what he's done, you know, then we are not going to be opened. You know, it says if we pursue the Spirit, the other things all fall to the side. And it's when we open our hearts and our lives to the Lord that he's able to manifest these things in our lives. God's Word translation of Romans 1:21 says, they knew God but did not praise and thank him for being God. Instead, their thoughts were total nonsense, and their misguided minds were plunged into darkness.
And they opened their hearts when they started thinking about things they shouldn't think about.
Yeah.
And if you, if a negative thought comes to you, or an evil thought, you need to just say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I take it captive to the mind of Christ.
That's what the Lord has allowed us to do.
That's exactly what he allows us to do.
That's right.
And let me just tell you that sometimes
he provides a way of
even
escape.
When you're praying, you know, thoughts come to you that you're going, where'd that come from? And I've discovered in the last 6 months that when I'm praying, if the enemy is trying to bring something negative to me and get my mind off what I'm praying about, am I trying to break my focus, I just start
deep breathing.
Breathing deep. Praying in the Spirit. Breathing deep, praying in the Spirit. My mind's cleared, and none of those thoughts come in my mind.
Mm.
And it works.
And you
it
can
does.
Also claim 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. This is a powerful scripture in a lot of ways, because we don't have dominion over everything. I don't know how to exactly put it. Let's put it this way. You have dominion over things that you are involved in, your family, your community. I mean, the place you live, that's where you start to embrace when you gain that authority, then you can spread it out. But starting with the authority of your own family, you can literally pray these scriptures over not just your mind. Sometimes we have to start with us, but then you can pray it over your children. You can pray these scriptures and this is your territory, your authority, your family. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you can pray that over people, over your children, over people you're praying for, and it works. In other words, It is, you can start seeing the manifestation of it. The
you know,
key
honey, it's
in that passage. Go ahead.
We have the over our children. We have authority in our environment over our children.
That's right.
And our children now are subjected to all sorts of vile things through social media, media, all kinds of things. And we just need to pray about taking dominion over vain imaginations, evil thoughts, that they will not come into our house, that they will not, be able to attack our children.
That's right.
We need to be able to do that.
Mm.
We do.
And the key in that passage, though.
Yeah, it says that.
That.
That's the key word. When the imagination focuses on things that are wrong, that is the problem.
Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
That is the scriptural problem being addressed in this verse.
Mm.
When it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that. See, that's what we need to pray about.
Mm.
We need to point out that our imagination is what we will use to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience and the mind of Christ. Now, it's certainly possible for our imagination to get carried off in the wrong direction. But see, that's when we cast down those thoughts.
That's right.
We get rid of them. Cast them out, cast them away, take them captive so we don't think about them anymore? One final question, which will resolve the point, even if you have lingering doubts or hesitations. Here's the question. Why would God give us an imagination if it was only for evil thoughts? Why would he give us an imagination if it was only for evil thoughts? He wouldn't. He couldn't. He didn't.
That's it.
He did not. Number two, imagination allows you to live in fear or faith.
Again, our choice.
Our choice. Both fear and faith flourish through our imaginations. Mm. Fear uses imagination to create the worst case scenario to make you think the worst thing's going to happen. And that's situations we face on a daily basis. Mark Twain once said, "I'm an old man. I've known many great troubles, but most of them never happened." And that's the truth. See, we cannot allow fear to run wild in our imagination, trying to create images and events that will never come to pass. That's what the enemy wants.
That's right.
And see, this is probably why the Bible gives us so many scriptures that tells us to fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not.
We should remember, I mean, you'd ought to write this down because this is powerful. Remember the words of Matthew 6:27 in the Living Bible. It says it this way: "Will all your worries add a single moment to your life?" When you get all caught up on things, and they can be devastating, when you get all caught up on things and worrisome, instead of concentrating and worrying about the problem, we need to be going and to the solution, finding the solution to them. And we need to write down, put it in our pocket, "Will all our worries add a single moment to our life?"
They
and
won't.
The answer is no.
No. Faith uses our imagination to see things that are not as though they were.
Hallelujah. Because Romans 4, verse 17 tells us about Abraham. He believed God even when it didn't look like the promise was ever going to come to pass for him to have a child. But this is what it says: "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 11, verse 1, the faith chapter, and this is in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "Now faith," I want you to listen to this. This is something you could study and really you need to get down in you. And I know you know it. Most everybody listening to our voice knows this. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed." Have you ever been getting a title deed to something? "Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses."
Hallelujah.
I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but
faith
we are
confirms
convinced.
What we can only see.
Yeah.
In our imagination.
In our imagination.
Because it hasn't been revealed yet.
The basis of it being what? Our faith. Our faith in the Word of God, that the Word of God is true.
It's clear that God places value on us using our imagination in connection with our faith.
That's right. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith," I mean, faith is the basis of our Christian walk, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Do we believe that he is? "And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
That's one of my favorite scriptures.
Because you're holding on to that by faith, that it will come to pass, and therefore it will.
I've told this before, several times perhaps, but what the word rewarder actually means in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to haroldherring.com and just search that scripture, it'll pull it up, and look through it, you'll find the teaching on it.
With all
what that word means
scriptural
is
basis.
Not what most people think that it means. Number three, imagination allows you to see things beyond the natural realm.
Amen.
In the midst of assaults by the enemy, we got to look beyond our natural surroundings and allow our spiritual imagination to to bring everything into a victorious focus. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, the servant Gehazi went out early in the morning to pick up some Krispy Kreme donuts and a copy of USA Today for the prophet Elisha. As he was walking back,
I love my husband's rendition of the scripture.
As he was walking back, with his natural eye what he perceived to be real trouble.
Big trouble. And this is what it says. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not. Hallelujah. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Fear not. You need to underline that. I should have put it in bold, but see, how many times have we been blindsided by attacks of the enemy?
That's right.
Or those that he uses to discourage, disappoint, and dissuade us from following God's will for our lives. In 2 Kings 6:16, the first thing the prophet Elisha said should also be our first response in time of trouble.
That's right.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not. That should be, our first response. When fear or worry come at you, it's imperative that you allow the Holy Spirit to move your imagination to a place of comfort, peace, and strength. Because in that place, you'll also be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's what we need to allow to happen. See, we have to realize that we've got the upper hand.
Yes.
In every skirmish with the enemy, every attack, we
that
have the upper
our
hand.
Way. That's we do. Right. And as it says in 2 Kings 16, verse 7, Gehazi was allowed to see beyond what was obvious in the natural. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We don't even know what's in the atmosphere around us, protecting us, caring for us. It's all the promises of God right there.
One time I've shared this before, the Lord allowed me to see my personal angel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was an amazing, life-changing event. I've only seen him once, but you see, I know he's around.
That's right.
I know he's right by me.
And he's big.
He's a big dude. He really is.
Hallelujah. And yours is too. He doesn't send any babies out there to protect you. He sends the big guns, believe me.
I was going to make a funny
That's a better. Whole nother. That's a whole nother teaching, but it's a good one. Well,
here's what you need to know.
That's it.
And we've said it time and time again. God is doing more for you right now that you can't see, so he can bring in the manifestation, the things you can see. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to prime our motivation to look beyond our natural eyes.
Natural eyes are called circumstances.
Yeah. We should never allow our heart to believe what our eyes see.
If it disagrees with the word.
The word of God.
This too shall pass.
Helen Keller, a blind and deaf American educator and author, once said, doubts and mistrust are the mere panic of timid imaginations, which the steadfast heart will conquer and the large mind transcend.
That's
amazing
good.
Quote.
I mean, especially.
By the way, there are a lot of quotes in tonight's teaching. We put these down for you because if they blessed us, we want them to bless you.
That's right.
More than just in one hearing.
In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 in the Message Bible, this gives us some pretty good advice right here. Says, so we're not giving up. How could we? When we've just listened to all of this, and you have this scriptural basis to lean on, how can you ever give up? It says, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like the things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Think about that. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's more here than meets the eye. That is a mouthful right there. There's more here than meets the physical eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever.
Hallelujah.
That's powerful.
Wow. That's the only way I know to describe that verse.
That's it.
Wow. Number four. Imagination allows you to turn your dreams into reality.
Amen.
Allows you to turn your dreams into reality. Here are seven thought-provoking quotes and one powerful scripture.
Amen.
Edmund Burke, the English statesman, said, "There's a boundary to men's passions when they act from feelings, but none when they're under the influence of imagination."
Mm. Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, said, "Live out of your imagination, not your history."
Muhammad Ali, the former heavyweight champion, once said, "The man who has no imagination has no wings."
Mm. That goes right along with Napoleon Bonaparte, the military leader, you know, in France, who said, "Imagination rules the world. What you think you can do, you can." And Carl Sagan, the noted scientist, said, "Imagination will often carry us to worlds that never were, but without it, we go nowhere."
Albert Einstein, the genius, once said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge."
That's amazing.
And Sun Tzu, the author of The Art of War, he said, "Can you imagine what I would do if I could do all I can?" Let me say that again. Can you imagine what I could do if I could do all that I can?
Go ahead.
Before you get to the scripture, a good friend of mine, Clay, sent me a quote. I love Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I'd never seen this quote. But Emerson said, "Don't be pushed by your problems. Be led by your dreams."
Yeah. And there's another great one that I've had from a long time ago, and I don't know who said it. But it said, "What would you do tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail?" I have that hanging on my wall. The point being, with God, nothing's impossible. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation says, "Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and request while giving thanks. Then God's peace," hallelujah, "which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus." That's important, about guarding our thoughts and emotions.
It
with
is.
The Word of God.
Number five, imagination is how and what you see through your Father's eyes.
Mm. Ephesians 1, verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." That's us.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for understanding is G1271, and it means, "The mind is a faculty of understanding, feeling, desiring, the spirit way of thinking and feeling." Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
That's good.
The spirit way of thinking and feeling. Mind, understanding, or imagination. The way to gain more understanding and insight is through using your imagination.
Mm. Ephesians 1, verse 18, the Living Bible says, "I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share." This is the Living Bible translation. "I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him." The NEB translation says, uses inward eyes. And the Jerusalem Bible says, "Eyes of your mind." Eyes of your mind.
Hallelujah.
How do we see something of the future? It's through.
Isn't that amazing?
Our
it
imagination.
Says, "Something of the future." I remember hearing, I forgot his name, baby, apostle from down in Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Huge churches along the Amazon. And he said, I've seen my future, and I've decided to live there.
Think of when God opens your eyes and allows you to see.
To see like you've never seen before.
That's right. Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know you can make it happen.
Genesis 3:5.
In the New Living Translation, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Now, this is the enemy talking to Eve.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil had not changed. It was still the same, except one major thing. Eve's perception of the tree changed by the words that came out of the devil's mouth.
That's right.
His words provoked her into an evil imagination. You know, truthfully, I've always wondered why Eve didn't think it strange that a snake was talking to her.
This is a side note.
Yeah, just as a side. Could be that she and Adam had seen other animals talking. I don't know, but I'm not suggesting anything. It's just a question I find interesting.
Interesting. It is.
I do. And by the way, I'm going to take a small rabbit trail. I hope we got time to do this. Some people, I don't like snakes of any kind. But some people are concerned because a snake come after them. But a snake is a cold-blooded animal. And we're, you know, warm-blooded.
That's right. Warm-blooded.
And it's a fact that a snake, see, snakes were not evil. But they've been associated with evil. And the truth of the matter is, the snake represents evil. It represents loneliness, greed.
You know, it's interesting.
All kinds of things.
It came to me that the snake allowed itself to be used, and therefore, by that association, is now considered.
That's very good. Here's a quick point I wanted to make. A snake cannot run, does not have the endurance that a warm-blooded person does. So you can outrun a snake, and they'll tire, they won't continue chasing. Human can do that. But see, consider the parallel. The enemy comes at you, but he cannot endure the distance that you can because you got the Word of God.
Amen.
And see, the Word of God takes you beyond, you know, the evil that's trying to attack you, come against you.
As long as we hang in there.
As long as we hang in there.
With the Word. Fight him with the Word. Fight him with the Word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Think about that. Okay. Sin entered the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve allowed their imagination to see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil differently than what God said about it. The thoughts suggested by the enemy fed an evil imagination, changing their view of that particular tree. The moral of that story? Simple. Never allow others to use your imagination to change your focus from what you know is right before God.
Amen.
Never do that.
Acts 26, verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. See, once we know, then we're privy to know what the Word says and understand it, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number 6, right thinking and rich speaking will expand your imagination. Hebrews 11:1 again.
In the
your favorite translation.
Yeah, classic Amplified again. It's so powerful, we're going to share it under this one too. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, you've been handled the title deed, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. In other words, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I'd almost put yet revealed to the senses.
Here's great news. We've taught before to think before your think beyond your imagination. Now, you can think beyond your imagination, but the great news is You can't think beyond God's imagination. Mm. You can't do that.
And what an imagination that is.
It is.
1 Corinthians 2:9 in the New Living Translation. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.
Hallelujah. Mm.
The Living Bible translation of that scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:9, says, that is what is meant by the scriptures which say that no mere man has ever seen, heard, or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. And talking about all of this.
That's a great scripture, yeah, too, baby.
I mean, all of these things, so to speak, that will stir you as to how great God is and how much we can tap into it. Ephesians 3:20 in the New International Version. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
These scriptures ought to make you shout.
Really?
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 55:8 in the New Living Translation. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And Ephesians 4, verse 23 in the New King James Version. And this is the last part. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means it's possible to start grasping these things as we apply ourselves to them. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, New King James Version again. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. As we start living out the Word, we'll start manifesting the Word.
Imagination is a part of meditation.
That's right.
And we need to meditate on God's Word.
Yes.
When people say meditate, though, they normally just think that it's something you do mentally. But if you look up the word meditate in the Greek, mm-hmm, it means to muse, which means to speak. So we're not just to think about it, we're to speak it as well. So that's something that...
Speak it with one another.
I talked about a lot.
Amen.
See, for a person to change, their thinking has to change.
That's right.
Their imagination has to change. Number 7. 7 ways to think beyond your imagination. Mm. Number 1, confess positive, rich thoughts each day. Create a confession on where you want to go, what you want to do, and be. And by the way, a good part of creating and confessing rich thoughts would be to listen to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast every morning.
That's right.
At 8:30. Go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says Rich Thoughts for Breakfast, and you will get the phone numbers where you can dial in.
Amen.
Life-changing.
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 Number 2, wake up and get up with a get-up-and-go spirit. You know, when the alarm goes off, decide to be excited. We can make decisions that way. Yeah. Praise God for the very special gift of another day that he's given you. You know, when you walk in that bathroom and look in the mirror, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, that's what Bob used to preach about, say, good morning, child of God, this is going to be the best day of your
most
life.
Most unbelievable day of my life.
Amen.
A day of revelatory insight, divine connections, previously tapping into previously unknown opportunities, mm-hmm, untapped potential. And you're going to do all this today, child of God.
That's right.
Just
give yourself a pep talk. Can't hurt, might help, right?
That's exactly right. Sometimes. It will definitely help.
It will help. It will help.
I mean, you go out of the house motivated.
That's right. Get your music on. Get your music on.
Number 3, listen to whatever encourages, exhorts, and edifies you.
That's it.
You know, sometimes
might
you can
music.
Choose music in the early in the morning.
Sometimes it might be preaching.
Could
somebody
be preaching.
That fires you up.
For us.
Like Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Like Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. We kind of pick something and hang on it for a while.
That's it.
We've been listening to a song called A Healing Oil by Kim Walker Smith.
Anointing Falls.
It is. It's an amazing song.
That's a great
healing
one.
Healing Oil.
It's from
Kim
Jesus
Walker
Culture.
Smith. And that's one we've been
on lately.
On lately.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So listen to whatever was going to motivate you.
That's it.
Listen to music, going to work, listen to a teaching tape or an MP3 or something to...
That's right.
Let me just say this. Avoid the news. Avoid sports talk. Avoid anything that's not going to build you up, lift you up.
Honestly, and this is a part of our society, and I'm serious. You know, for whatever it's worth, sometimes people's mood are whether their sports team won or lost. If they won, you know, they're great at the office. If they lost, you don't want to be around them at the office. I mean, think of that. But God can send you out every day, pumped up, ready to go, happy, regardless of circumstances.
There's something wrong when you allow your favorite team's defeat to affect your day.
That's it.
And there's something wrong. I have a friend, we have friendly rivalries over our favorite college basketball teams. When his team wins, I get a text within 5 minutes and a call the next day. When his team loses, I won't hear from him for 2 weeks. I am not going to let something else that I have no control over.
That's it.
Influence. You know, the good that I can feel during the day and how I can glorify God.
It's a choice.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Number 5 is encourage your family members. Okay, I'll let you go.
Lay out the music and ministry teachings you'll listen to, you know, the next morning before you go to bed.
Yeah, MP3s.
Start your morning drive with the right kind of stuff. This is a follow-up to number 3.
Okay.
But plan it. Don't just get in the car and go, what am I going to listen to today? Before you get in that car to go for a ride, know what you're going to listen to.
That's it.
Have it planned out. And let it be a part of what you're going to be doing and growing. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, but this is the way you dress your mind, just as you dress your body.
That's right. Amen.
Number 5.
That's right.
Encourage your family members just as you're being encouraged.
Amen.
It'll help family harmony. Have everyone believing for the pure, the powerful, the positive to be manifested in their lives through the Word of God. Number 6.
Follow a definite reading plan. You know, your reading plan could include actually 3 categories. You can do your devotional always, Word of God, and your devotional that goes, whatever you have that goes with it. I have like a whole series of stuff. But anyway, and you're professional. Anything that's going to make you a better employee in the work that you're doing, employee or person. And then recreational, something that you can do to just decompress, I call it, and enjoy.
The professional doesn't necessarily mean technical. It can be books that you read, Christian books that change your attitude, your perspective, your thinking. That help you
leadership
realize
or other
that no
things.
Matter what you've gone through,
yeah.
you know, you've gone through it, and you're getting to
and
the other side.
Back.
And books that help you and to talk to you about how to turn, setbacks into comebacks. To have that kind of
a
turnaround, if you will.
Amen.
To do that. Number 7. Purpose in your heart to expand your mental abilities and increase your communication skill, adding a new word to your vocabulary each day. At noon each day, my phone dings, and from dictionary.com, I get a new word. Do I remember all those words? Absolutely not.
I was about to ask you.
No. But I do pick up some of them.
That's it. And some is better than none.
And some is better than none.
That's it.
One final verse we want to share with you.
Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, in the New King James Version. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Hallelujah.
Great thought.
So here's the bottom line. All that's left is for you to imagine your life the way God said it could be.
Amen. Better
to
than
think beyond
ever.
Your imagination and to live a life. I have a book entitled Borders Without Limitations. Stephen, we good on that? to live a life, Borders Without Limitations. It's a great book. It really is. For a gift, any amount that you sow, we'll send you this book as a gift.
Amen.
And I think it's $14.95, but whatever you sow. If you sow more than that, then we can send one free to somebody who didn't have that much to sow or didn't think they did.
It's good.
Hallelujah.
A good book.
Well, once again, happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Especially to Felicia, who's not here tonight.
And thank Mama from preaching last herself.
Oh, yeah, last Sunday night.
A lot of other people last Sunday
night. We were
out
of town. We were preaching for Pastor Robert Laird.
Yes.
The Embassy Church in Orlando. And Mama
stepped up to the plate and hit a home run.
She did. She gave the devil a black eye and a bloody nose.
That's it.
Took him behind the woodshed.
She beats him up good.
Spanked him real good.
That's it.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, join us tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. You'll be blessed.
Amen.
And if you can't listen to it live, listen to the playback.
24 hours.
And if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, move up to the top where it says sow a seed, and just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask.
Amen.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
God bless you. Bye-bye.